head scout at ISS Hockey, the International Scouting Services. Ross McLean joins us once again. Ross, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing excellent. I was looking at your guys' top 30. We're going to talk that and a little bit more. But you guys have, just for our listeners out there, they've got Reinhart 1, Ekblad 2, Del Cole 3, Bennett 4, Nylander 5, Draisaitl 6, Perlini 7, Alex Tuch 8, the huge left winger, Nicholas Ritchie 9th, and Jake Virtanen out of Calgary in the 10 slot. You guys have Del Cole listed as a center. Does he, in your mind, is he predominantly a center, or did he play more wing than center this year?
From what we've seen, he's versatile, and he can shift into either position. So I like him as a center. I think he probably will suit a lot more teams that are targeting him, at least initially, as a winger. But it's nice to have that versatility moving forward. So it's definitely something that I'd like to note with that particular player.
Okay. Reinhart, you guys have him at number one. What do you like best?
With Reinhart, it's the way that he thinks the game. He really can slow things down, and he can control the pace of the game with or without the puck on his stick. He's a very intelligent two-way player, does a phenomenal job in all three zones, but with the puck on his stick, he controls the game, and he sees plays that others don't. He can amplify the skill set of everybody else around him, and that's something that you don't see very often. You only get a handful of players every year that even come close to having the capability of doing that.
He is the late birthday. He's in November 6th of 1995, where, you know, Ekblad and Del Cole and Bennett, now, those guys are all 96 birthdays. And, you know, we'd look at it and say, well, it's only 4 months or 7 months. Have you noticed in the past, do the late birthdays, I'm starting to see more, you know, Ovechkin, Taylor Hall, even Sidney Crosby, although he's an August birthday. Do you see, Ross, does that make a significant difference in the first few years of development into the NHL, those guys with the late birthday?
It's a bit of a double-edged sword, actually. There are certain players that take that extra year of development and really use it to their advantage. They're able to just sort of dominate at a certain level. And it's something that's kind of worked against them their entire lives, but then they get in their draft year, and it really starts to work for them.
Yeah.
But you also see a lot of guys that come in there, and a lot of times teams evaluate the birth year. So the 96s are evaluated with the other 96s and the 95s with the other 95s. So sometimes those players, it works against them in the sense that it's another year for them to get picked apart. And once you watch a player 20 times, you're not looking at what he can do anymore. You know him inside and out. You're trying to figure out what are the flags with this guy. What are the areas of concern? What are the potential downfalls of this player? So you start to pick them apart. So sometimes it can really work against them. We've seen that in the past with guys like Sean Couturier, who was a consensus number one for 2 years heading into his draft year. And then in the final months leading up to the draft, he falls into almost outside of the top 10 for some people. So, and I believe he went number 8 overall that year. So it really is a double-edged sword.
Ross McLean from ISS joins us talking 2014 NHL draft, which of course goes at the end of June in Philadelphia. Sam Bennett, you know, Oilers fans are intrigued by him and Draisaitl. You have Bennett 4, Nylander 5, and then Leon Draisaitl number 6. I guess let's go in order of those three, starting with Bennett. Why do you have him ahead of the other two?
Well, Bennett's a really interesting player. He's got a great motor on him. He works really hard around the ice, and it's surprising to a lot of people just how good he is as a two-way player. He's a very competitive player. He wants the puck. He can do amazing things with the puck. He's got a little bit of an edge to him, a little bit of fire, a little bit of tenacity, and he's not afraid to take the puck in the hard areas. The real issue for me with Bennett, and the reason that he's at number 4 with being such an explosive and creative offensive player, is he doesn't necessarily have the frame, or let's just say maybe the style of play that he plays doesn't necessarily translate very well with his physical stature at the next level. So there's a little bit of concern with his game going forward, but he's got that. He's definitely got the fire in his eyes, and he wants to score whenever he's on the ice and that puck's around him.
Interesting you bring up the frame, because I know that people have said that he's got kind of slight shoulders and they wonder if he's really going to fill out that much. We had him on the show earlier this week, very confident young player, not cocky, just very confident, you know, and he admitted that at times he lets his fire kind of get the best of him. He has to learn how to calm down. We've seen a lot of players, you know, who play bigger than they are. and that's successful, but it maybe can wear them down. Is that the concern with Bennett, that maybe when he's going to play at 195 to 190 and play the style of game he has, if he's going up against 230, 225 defensemen, he's going to get injured?
Well, there is always that fear about durability. But I think the fear is more about, when you get to the next level, when we talk about the NHL game, it's about winning space, and there's a lot of battles. And it's with players, especially at the high end of the rounds here, you start to see teams looking for guys that are going to help them win. And when you watch Bennett, he's a very exciting player, and he can certainly help you win. He can certainly create a lot. I talked about, you know, players that can amplify skill sets. He's certainly one of the guys that can bring everybody else's game up just by the pace that he plays. But when it comes down to the areas that he's successful in the Ontario Hockey League, it's going to be just that much harder at the next level. And we talk about frame with him, you know, I don't like talking about size too much, but there is a factor. When you get to the next level, it does just become just that little bit more. And for some guys who just don't have the room to build on their bodies and try and play that particular style that got them to that level, they can't do it anymore. And they can't necessarily adapt either to playing a different style of game. So there's always a fear with that. But when you've got a guy that's as creative and intelligent as an offensive player as Bennett, he's got things to fall back on. He can become a perimeter playmaker. He can become a power play specialist, and so on. But it's hard to get really excited and to really promote a player as being an offensive centerpiece for a team when there are concerns like that.
Ross McLean joins us from ISS, talking NHL draft. Despite those concerns, he's still rated higher than Leon Draisaitl, who's a much bigger frame already at 6'1", 204 pounds. What is it then, despite that size advantage and him scoring 100 points, what concerns you, I guess, about Draisaitl's game at the next level?
The big thing with Draisaitl, I mean, you can watch Draisaitl one day and he looks like Evgeny Malkin or Yermer Yager, and then you watch him the next game and he is invisible. So the consistency is a big thing with him, and he's one of those players who plays this sort of style similar to a guy like Joe Thornton or Ryan Getzlaf, so he's not necessarily the most energetic out there, and some people can mistake that for being lazy. He picks his spots. He's very calculated. He preserves his energy, and there are times, though, where he'll just take off with the puck, and you can see the skill. He can do whatever he wants at certain times, but it's just those mental lapses, and I've actually seen it happen in one game where he's gone out in the first period and been absolutely dominant, and then the next two periods he's been a complete liability to his team. So when you get a player that has that skill and that ability, it's so easy to get excited about them. But those are also the type of players that we've seen in years past who really have that sort of boom or bust appeal to them. We talked about Nichushkin last year being that kind of player in the draft, and Draisaitl is very much in that mold for this draft.
You know, it's interesting, and I'm sure that's got to be the hardest thing for scouts when you look at, because when you see that high-end potential and how he can take a game over, that's what's so intriguing, and you feel that, you know what, consistency is something that maybe players can get, but they can't magically create that skill set with the size that he possesses, and that has to be the intriguing thing about him, I would think.
Well, certainly. I mean, this is a guy that he's got a very strong package for an offensive player. And the way that he plays and the areas of the ice that he likes to go, he's built very, very well for it. And, this kid has eyes in the back of his head, too. He seems to be able to see 360. So he's probably one of the best playmakers in the entire draft. Tremendous passer. So it's hard to ignore those skill sets, even when there is some inconsistencies in his game.
What about Nylander? I haven't heard much about him, and I love the fact that you guys, when you do your rankings, you combine the Europe and the North American skaters together, so we see where he's in, and he's right in between Bennett and Draisaitl. So what do you like about his game, and then maybe compare him to those two?
Well, Nylander, like Bennett, is an incredible offensive player. I mean, this kid is a magician with the puck. He can do whatever he wants. He's extremely good, especially on power plays. Right now, he's absolutely dominating the Under-18 World Championships. He's got, I think, 5 more points in the next player in the scoring charts, and I believe that's his line mate. So he's a kid that can really bring you out of your seat. He reminds me a lot of a player like Mikael Granlund in Minnesota there. He can do those sorts of things, and that's what really excites people about him. Again, there's consistency issues, there's size issues, but he's got the pedigree, and what he's been able to do already playing against men is something that's very appealing moving forward. So there's a high risk, high reward style there, and it's probably the same to say for taking him that high in the draft as well. There's a high risk, but there could be a high reward there as well.
You know, over the years when you've looked at players, and it's funny, a lot of the Swedish players on average seem to take a little bit more time to adapt to the North American NHL game, and then when they do, you know, a lot of them in their mid-20s become very, very good players. Over the years, do you feel more comfortable that you get a read on the European guys, and does playing against men give you a better read on what they'll do against NHL players compared to Western Hockey League kids who play against other teenagers?
It does in a certain sense. Obviously, especially with Swedes, I mean, most of their rinks are European-sized rinks. You look at a place like Finland, they have kind of hybrids. So some of their rinks are European Olympic size. Some of them are North American size. But it's definitely a benefit to having that experience playing against men and playing professional hockey, learning what it means to be a professional at a young age, as opposed to playing against your peers. There's certainly an advantage to it when you're of a certain skill level at this level when we talk about the draft. For some players, it's almost a disadvantage for them because they go up there and they lose their confidence. But you kind of wish that they could have sort of both sides of it, but there's just really no league out there that they can have both sides of it, where they are playing that sort of North American style game, but also playing against men as juniors. So it is always something you have to factor in, and every player is a little bit different. So a guy like Nylander, it is a concern, just the way that he plays. He plays a very stereotypical European style. He loves the perimeter of the ice. He's used to having a little bit more space, and it would definitely be a concern moving forward.
Ross McLean from ISS joins us talking 2014 NHL draft. Vertanen scored a beautiful goal today at the under-18s. I know you guys have got some scouts over there. Ross, when you look at that tournament, how much, if any, does it impact the final rankings for guys?
Well, it's a high-level competition. The stakes are high. And it's one of those situations where you can really evaluate some players against their peer group that they haven't played against. So, you know, guys get in to see North American players that play in the Western Hockey League playing against those guys that have played professionally or playing in the juniors in Sweden. Anytime that you can see a player in that sort of environment, they're going to get a boost because you want winners. You want guys that are going to help you win. I mean, last year we were back and forth with Seth Jones and Nathan MacKinnon until the Memorial Cup, and when Nathan MacKinnon raised his game another level in the Memorial Cup, it was obvious, it was clear. And it was really clear for the first time. So it was absolutely unanimous for the first time, which very rarely happens. So there's obviously a benefit to getting a little bit more exposure. But again, like I said with the late birthdays, there are some downsides to it too, because it is that time of year where maybe you've seen this guy a whole lot. A guy like Vertanen, who I've watched play 60 times in the last 2 years, you know, I know everything that he can bring, and I'm looking for the pieces of him now that I don't like, and seeing how prevalent they are in a competition like that. So, and those are the kind of things that happen at this time of year.
Ross, a few of the big wingers, in Brandon Perlini and Nicholas Richie, huge, big power forwards. Richie especially, he's already 226 pounds, 6'2.5". He's huge. You have Perlini seventh and Richie ninth. Tell me about those guys, and do you see them as big impact first-line wingers in the NHL?
They're definitely complementary players that, surrounded by the right players, can really make things happen. Their size is definitely appealing. I mean, with Perlini, it's impressive actually how fast he can move for such a big man. You're not used to seeing guys his size move as fast as he does. He's got very strong mechanics to his stride. Very intelligent offensive player, but he plays in both directions as well. He's been a really consistent player all year. We've liked him more and more that we've seen him. He's got that offensive pop, but I don't see him being the kind of guy you build your team around. He's more of a you've got a piece in mind, or a piece in place already that he can kind of come in and adapt to on the wing. Richie. Maybe he can do it a little bit more on his own. He loves to take the puck to the net. He's a fearless player with the puck, which does create some of the durability concerns with him, especially moving forward. I'm going to bury my head, and I'm going to try and go through you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to matter who it is that he's doing it to. I watched him try and do attack Vlad a few times. So there's concerns with that, but there's not many guys that have that fire. And those are also the kind of guys that you see the teams that go deep in the playoffs every year. Those are the kind of guys they have on their roster. And the teams that don't, they're the teams that are always looking for a guy like that. So there's some serious appeal in a guy like that.
Ross, outside of the top 10 that you guys have listed, where are one of the players that I know they're listed there now, but you think in the next 3 or 4 years could be somebody who's a mid to late first round pick that's really going to pan out and become a heck of an NHL player?
Well, I think just outside of our top 10, Hayden Fleury is probably the second best defenseman in the draft. He's going to be a very intelligent, reliable defensive player. There's a couple of boom or bust guys, Jared McCann and Josh Hosang, incredible offensive players. Just sort of need to maybe grow up a little bit, and there'll be some concerns with that. But we see that every year, that there are guys that we think are maybe immature or maybe a problem child, but they grow out of it and they become phenomenal players. But I think the two guys that I would point at the most as sort of projected mid-round guys right now, Connor Bleakley from Red Deer and Anton Karlsson out of Sweden. They're very similar players, actually. Just great motors, good leaders. They play the full 200 feet, and they'll play whatever role you need them to play to help you win. And those types of guys are tough to find. And I think both of those guys at some point will probably be candidates to wear letters in the NHL at some point if their development continues the way it has.
And who do you see as the best goaltender in the draft?
The best goaltender is Thatcher Demko out of Boston. He's the front runner right now. I think there's the two Canadian guys in McDonald and Moran have tremendous potential moving forward. They've got great size, so they've still got a lot to figure out. But those are two guys that will definitely be appealing, one because of their size and athleticism, but two because there's so much left to work with them. They've still got a long road to get a lot better. So it'd be nice to stash them away in your system and see just how good they can become.
Really appreciate your time, Ross. I know it's a busy time of year for you guys, so thank you very much, and we look forward to it. Unfortunately, in Edmonton, we're talking about it way more than the fans want to. Hopefully, in a few years, they won't be talking about top three picks anymore.
Well, it's good for me. I feel like I'm becoming a household name in Edmonton now.
We appreciate your time.